Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Another church year begins, and we hear once more how Christ came to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Certainly, this is not the only time that Christ has come to man. Jesus was gracious enough to come to us this whole last year, bringing us his gospel, pronouncing the forgiveness of sins, baptizing our children, feeding us with his own body and blood. But will Christ come to us this year also? The world has become a much more heathenish place within the last 12 months. Men despise the word of God everywhere we look. The world shows contempt and disregard for Christ's commandments, worshiping other gods, misusing his name, ignoring his word, and so on. As it says in Psalm 12, on every side the wicked prowl as vileness is exalted among the children of man. But that's just the unbelieving world, we might say. And that's true enough. We are Christians. I'm not going to stand here and argue that we despise the word of God like the world does. But does that mean we've paid such wonderful attention to Jesus this past year that we deserve to have him come to us again in grace this year? Alas, we are sinners. We know and we believe that the word of Christ is the most precious treasure we have on earth. We know and we believe that here heaven is open and Christ himself forgives our sins and speaks his word to us and serves us his own body and blood. And at the same time, we know and we believe that we could be the most pious Christians on earth, and we still couldn't boast of honoring Christ the way we should. I could enumerate the various ways in which we've disrespected Christ this past year. The fact that it's easier for us to think how other people have neglected Jesus than it is for us to reflect on our own sins says enough in itself. We are Christians. Make no mistake about that. But we, like all Christians, are people who don't deserve so much as a smile from our Lord, let alone do we deserve his coming to us. Yet there's a reason we hear about the coming of Christ the first Sunday of every church year. Think about why Jesus came then. Was it because the people were so worthy and deserving and had earned a gracious visit from their Lord? In the crowd on Palm Sunday, there were prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners and men of little faith. They hadn't earned anything from Jesus, at least not anything good. Yet there Jesus sits on the donkey anyway. And there Jesus comes anyway, and he comes with grace and favor, and not as man deserves. Why? Matthew includes a scripture passage in today's gospel, a verse from Zechariah chapter 9. God spoke that verse some hundreds of years before Palm Sunday. He said, "Behold, your king is coming to you." God promised that our king would come, righteous and having salvation. And so he came, not because of anything in us, but because he promised. "Behold, your king is coming to you." Jesus came to fulfill his word. He had made a promise, and he kept it. And that's why he came. And see what great comfort this is. Jesus comes to us because he promised, not because you did anything. You cannot sit here and say, "Jesus, I am so improved from last year, I deserve to have you come to me again this year." Now, God grant it be true that you've improved from last year, that you love the word of Christ more, that you resist temptation better, that your faith is stronger, that your love for others is more genuine. God grant it. Those are good things, and we desire them as Christians. But we cannot expect Jesus to do anything good for us on the basis of our works. Our good works do please our Lord. But if we want to argue that he must do something for us because of them, then all of a sudden our works become very displeasing in his sight, and we find him not as a gracious master, but as a strict judge. But he promised to come to us, and you can hold on to that. Even a child can grasp how this works, and perhaps grasp it better than most of us. A child might have been naughty all day, disrespectful, obnoxious, and he knows he can't ask Dad for anything good on the basis of his behavior. But if Dad said that morning that later on in the day they were going out for ice cream, well then guess what the child is going to be asking for after supper? He knows he's been bad. He's not proud of it. He wishes he'd done otherwise. And he isn't stupid enough to stand in front of Dad and claim that he deserves anything. But he expects Dad to keep his word. So what's he going to say? Dad, you said. And he is going to take his stand on the promise. So it must be for us. We do not boast of our works before Christ. We must not. But we must take our stand on his promise. When we feel the weight of our sins and desire mercy, we pray, Lord, I daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. But you said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous but sinners. So forgive my sins, not because of my works, but because of your promise. And today we can pray, Jesus, we do not deserve your gracious coming. But you said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So come to us, Lord. Come to us still. Not because of our works, but because of your promise. And do you know what the Lord sees when he looks at sinners praying such prayers? He doesn't see a bunch of obnoxious, demanding children. He doesn't see offenders who need punishment. He sees faith. He sees people who trust his word more than they trust his works. He sees the sick looking to their physician for healing. In short, when Christ looks at sinners praying such prayers, he sees Christians. So that's the first lesson to learn from today's gospel reading. Jesus comes to us because of his word. Therefore, we trust his word, stake everything on his word, hope in nothing other than his word, pray on no foundation other than his word. The trustworthiness of Jesus' word will characterize the entire church here. And we can rest on it securely, knowing that he will continue to act toward us according to his word. Today's gospel also teaches us how we should expect Christ to come to us. Behold, your king is coming to you, humble. Jesus comes to us in gentleness and humility. And this is good. But we need to be constantly reminded that this is good. Because our flesh wants to see signs and wonders and power. Our flesh wants to be convinced of Christ's coming by miracles. It wants a Moses to part the Red Sea, or an Elijah to call down fire from heaven, or a Christ who says, Lazarus, come out. Christ will rebuke our flesh several times this church year for its desire to walk by sight and not by faith. Yet even the new man, recreated in Christ, in complete piety, longs for the Lord to show himself to be Lord, to silence the liar and overthrow the oppressor and break the teeth of the wicked. It's not right that the world should blaspheme the Lord and get away with it. It's not right that the world should persecute Christians and get away with it. So, today we prayed that prayer that we will so often pray during this Advent season, the prayer from Psalm 80. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Yet the Lord continues to come to us in gentleness and humility. He will come in power and glory and judgment one day, that he has promised. But as it is written in 2 Peter, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. For now, Jesus comes not in power to judge, but in humility to save. And this gladdens our hearts. Is it not our greatest joy that Christ did not come to us as we deserve with fire and brimstone and hell, but instead came as a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger? His humility is our salvation. And so as we await the last day and pray for our Lord to hasten, we do well to continue delighting in the Lord's humility. The day will come when Christ will arise in judgment and banish evil and vindicate the righteous and turn faith into sight. And to that we say, Amen, come Lord Jesus. But in the meantime, we do not despise Christ's humility. We do not despise his humble preachers, his humble means of grace. As Jesus will tell us in 2 weeks, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. In this age, Jesus does not appear as powerful as he actually is. The cross is proof enough of that. My power is made perfect in weakness, Jesus said. So he rode into Jerusalem humble and mounted on a donkey, and triumphed over the devil by his apparently weak death. And he now saves men with water and baptism, and feeds men simple bread and wine, which are not simple at all, but are his true body and blood. Jesus can do extraordinary things with things that look very ordinary. So it was on Good Friday, and so it is today. So rejoice that your Lord comes to you humble. Do not be offended that he doesn't look powerful, that you look and you see nothing but water, and you see nothing but bread and wine. Do not be scandalized by this, but see the Lord's humility and his desire for your salvation. He comes to have mercy and forgive sin and bolster the bruised reed and fan into flame the smoldering wick. As we sang in the hymn, sin's debt, that fearful burden, cannot his love erase. Your guilt the Lord will pardon and cover by his grace. He comes for you, procuring the peace of sin forgiven, his children thus securing eternal life in heaven. And rest assured that Christ will come in glory on the last day. That day is no fairy story, but is a promise of Jesus. We will hear our Lord say in next week's reading, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And in Revelation, Jesus promises, yes, I am coming quickly. And in John chapter 16, again a little while, and you will see me. And in Hebrews chapter 9, Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. We are eagerly waiting for Christ. How long, O Lord? Would that he would come and deliver us from the evil of this world with its temptations and abominations. Would that he would come and cast the devil eternally into hell. Would that he would come and renew our flesh, this weak, corrupt flesh that is handicapped and fallen in all its abilities. Would that the end of last church year had been the end of all years, the end of all time. But here we still are, according to the will of Christ. And given that we are still here on earth, where else on earth would we rather be than here? Here we have nourishment to sojourn in this world. Here we have victory over the devil. Here we have the forgiveness of sins and strengthening to fight against the sinful flesh. In short, here we have Christ coming to us. And that is sufficient, both now and forever. Amen.